Do not let your hearts be troubled or afraid. Dear brothers and sisters, the Holy Spirit is with you.
It wasn't on the information that Jacqueline sent me, because obviously that's not open to the public. But when I looked on I looked at the calendar on the website and I saw it. So, all right.
Man searches for his living soul.
Okay.
Searches places that he don't want to go. Looks for love and for hope. He finds a world that's abandoned them both. Yeah. All the lies tell us just to.
Hi, I'm Kathleen McCarthy, and you're listening to What the World Needs Now, empowered by the Holy Spirit, bringing the fire of God's love to the world. I invite you to join me in this hour of God's healing power. Call and join us in conversation and prayer. Remember, what the world needs now is God, and God is love.
And welcome to What the World Needs Now. This is your host, Ken Johnston, and I want to praise and thank God for all of our listeners, and thank you for all that you do for us here at In His Sign Catholic Radio. Both your financial and prayerful contributions that have kept us on the air for over 40 years now and allows us to bring you great programming like the show that we have for you today. Before we go to our guests, just a reminder that our Matt Talbot Shrine in the parish of St. Gabriel's in the Grace Ferry neighborhood of South Philadelphia is open on Tuesdays and Thursdays following the 8:30 a.m. daily mass until about 6 o'clock each evening. We invite you to come down and spend some time in the Cathedral of South Philadelphia and visit our good friend Matt Talbot, where we pray for all those that struggle with addiction, those that are in recovery, and all their loved ones. Next Tuesday will be the third Tuesday of the month, which means we'll have our monthly Matt Talbot healing hour and mass, which begins at 6 o'clock p.m. in the church. We'll have a holy hour first with exposition of the Blessed Sacrament, confessions, some novena prayers that we use for Matt Talbot's intercession, followed by mass at 7 o'clock. So all are more than welcome, especially those that have had addiction impact their lives. And I don't know too many people these days that don't have somebody either in their immediate or extended family that has either struggles with or has lost the battle with addiction. So by all means, come down and spend some time with us. That said, I'm excited anyway to be joined today by Leonardo DeFilippis. He's the founder and president of St. Luke Productions, and for 37 years he's produced numerous one-man and one-woman plays on the lives of the saints and the Gospels, and has created feature films, television, and radio internet programming. The company's newest live production, Tolton, From Slave to Priest, is also currently touring the country. And Leonardo, it's great to have you with us. Thanks for joining.
Oh, so great to be with you, Ken, and with all your listeners at In His Sign Radio. So God bless you.
No, I appreciate it. And, you know, it was interesting, I think it was 2 weeks ago, this was the only Wednesday we had left open in the calendar until the end of the year. And when your friend Jacqueline reached out to us to see if we could do something, as I mentioned in just the brief time we had together before we came on, I've had the privilege of seeing your show on St. Maximilian Kolbe twice now. Once at a parish that's no longer open, St. John of the Cross in Roslyn, which was probably 15 or 20 years ago, and then 9 or 10 years ago when you were out with the Knights of Immaculata at Malvern. And as a Knight of Immaculata myself, and having made the consecration, it'll be 25 years ago on the 21st of this month, being able to witness your production of his life just made all the difference in the world in my devotion to Christ through St. Maximilian Kolbe. So I really appreciate all that you've done over these years, and I know the guys that will be on retreat in a couple of weeks are looking forward to it as well.
Absolutely. No, we're excited, and we just got back from Connecticut. I literally today performed there for a week for Catholic high schools and a parish in Massachusetts. So, and just with Maximilian, and the impact was so great, especially seeing young people get so involved in it.
Yeah. So I know that you were going to be at Malvern on that weekend, and of course that's more or less a private, well, not more or less, it is a private production for the men that are on that retreat weekend. But it looks like because you were coming to town, we were able to get you booked in a couple of other churches. So I just want to let folks know that on November the 17th, which I had the calendar here in front of me and then it disappeared, November the 17th, which is a Thursday night, you'll be at St. Patrick's Parish in Malvern, which is right around the corner from the retreat house. That'll be 7 o'clock. Again, that's on Thursday, November the 17th. On November the 18th, Leonardo will be at the National Shrine of Our Lady of Częstochowa in Doylestown. And I don't know if you've been there before or not, Leonardo, but that's just a great spot and not too far from me. And I'm sure that you'll get a real nice crowd at Our Lady of Częstochowa. And then on Sunday the 20th, Leonardo will be at St. Margaret of Antioch Church, and that's in Narberth. All these shows are at 7 o'clock. I believe all of them are a free will offering. So, you know, if you've not seen it, you want to see it. If you're not familiar with St. Maximilian Kolbe, he's one of the greatest saints of all time, but especially one of the great ones of the 20th century. And to be able to witness his life through the art of Leonardo da Filippo is just wonderful. So
no, thanks. Go ahead.
I was just going to say. So in this life of Saint Maximilian Kolbe, was that the original show that when you started Saint Luke Productions? Was that one of the first shows that you were doing?
No. We started with the Gospel of Luke because that's why we're called Saint Luke Productions. So we
there
did two shows on that. Then we did a show on Saint Francis of Assisi, which was a major show we did for many many decades, and then. We also did Gospel of John and a show on John of the Cross and Song of Songs, and then eventually we went to Maximilian Kolbe, and then eventually to Faustina and Giambiani, and eventually to Papa Tolton. So we've done quite a few dramas, and Maximilian is probably our most seen show of all the shows we've ever done in our history. So continues to be requested without even me promoting it. So people reaching out. So that's how we're coming back to Philadelphia. We've been to Philadelphia before, but, you know, we're scratching the surface always because so many souls have not seen this show and the power of it and the timeliness and the relevance of right now what's happening in our society, etc. Maximilian has a lot to say to us. As you mentioned, he's one of the most important saints in the last couple hundred years. So, you know, he's a powerful saint.
And what, if I can, where did the inspiration to do the show come from? Was it your own devotion to Maximilian Kolbe, or
No, I had heard of him, you know, but it was from the Knights of the Immaculata. It was actually from the West Coast. People who came to me and encouraged me to do a show on his life for the 100th anniversary of his birth. So, and from that, they gave me a book and a couple books, and I read them, and I got so entranced by it, and I took up the challenge, basically, and I worked with the friars at Marytown in Illinois, and then from there, it just took off, and we opened it at World Youth Day in Denver, 1993, Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yeah, I just want to make sure I'm not having feedback or anything.
Yeah, so we're going on. You're going on 30 years then of Maximilian.
Yes, it's been amazing. I'm still doing it, and I'm still getting beat up and everything by the Nazis. But it's been a powerful thing, and we've done it for such diverse audiences all over the United States. Been to Rome with it also, so it's been a pleasure to do all through Canada. So it's been really something to do it in so many places, throughout the country, and particularly for youth. And I've even done it. You were talking earlier about the Matt Talbot thing earlier in your announcements about addictions. I remember in New York we did it for all these kids. It was a place of all addicts, all kids who were drug addicts, substance abuse, and we performed for all of them, Maximilian, because he's one of the patron saints for addicts. Anyway, he's a powerful saint. He has many facets, as you know, as a Knight of the Immaculata.
Yeah, and as somebody that's actually in recovery myself from addiction, and that's kind of how I got plugged in with Maximilian Kolbe originally, and it amazes me now that he became a kind of a patron saint for addicts because of the way he died in Auschwitz, from the injection of carbolic acid. It really wasn't an overdose from drugs per se. But up until then, we really didn't have anybody else to look to. And now, of course, Venerable Matt Talbot here in the States is growing a little bit in popularity. But for a lot of people, and we pray through Maximilian Kolbe's intercession all the time here for those that struggle with addiction.
Yeah, he's a multifaceted saint for sure, particularly Maximilian, in terms of kind of a, in a sense, he's, one of the patron saints for the media, for journalists, for, as you mentioned, addictions, and is obviously is one of the great saints in the church in his devotion to the Mother of God. So that's one of his great hallmarks, obviously.
Yeah. And so for those that may not be familiar with Maximilian Kolbe, maybe we could give a thumbnail sketch of his life and what he did to impact so many people, starting, of course, in Poland and then Japan, and eventually word gets out about him around the world.
I'll just say real briefly, Ken, that he's really, as a child, at 10 years old, Mary appears to him, the Mother of God, and offers him two crowns, a white crown and a red crown, one for purity, white, red for martyrdom. He chooses both of them as a young kid, and then Mary disappears. And so he knows throughout his whole life, the only person he ever told this to was his mother. And his mother doesn't talk about this till after he dies. But anyway, he knows he's going to be martyred. He knows he's going to die. So he has to live an exemplary life. And he goes on to join the conventual Franciscans, or we sometimes call them the Black Franciscans, because the black habits they would wear. And anyway, he goes into that order and eventually is called and inspired to do something with the media, with journalism. And that's because in 1917, he sees a huge demonstration in St. Peter's Square, in the plaza there in front, the colonnades right there in front, filled with all Freemasons and enemies of the church who are showing the effigy of Lucifer actually destroying St. Michael, the archangel. It's a reverse of what we believe today. So he saw that inspired him to start the Knights of the Immaculata. And that was in October 16th is the feast day for that beginning, And so then he goes on to start journalism, becomes the largest Catholic media person in Poland at the time. This is pre-World War II. And he creates a whole city called the Neopokalon, the City of the Immaculate, it's translated. And then eventually, as you alluded to, he decides to go to Japan. And within 1 month, he's able to start publishing in Japanese and in Nagasaki. So it's an amazing journey. Then he's called back because he created the largest monastery in the church, 700 guys, 700 men. So he had to manage 700 men, which is not an easy thing to do. And so he has Japan, he has Poland, and he's and so when the Nazis take over, he's obviously a target because he's one of the not only religious as a priest, which they were against, but also one of the intellectuals, which eventually they will exterminate and imprison almost all of them in Poland to wipe out their culture. And so he eventually is imprisoned and goes to Pawiak prison, and then eventually he goes to Auschwitz. During the early part of Auschwitz, which was a Polish military camp in the beginning, and they took a lot of Poles there and you know, Polish people, and then eventually the Jews too. And then the history, everybody knows a lot of the history of Auschwitz, but he ends up dying in 1941, as you mentioned, by in a starvation camp, and gives his life for a married man, Mr. Gajonicek, who lived to be 93 and survived the entire history of Auschwitz in the concentration camp, which is remarkable in and of itself. So he's a very important saint for our modern times, for what he did, particularly in his devotion to the and trust in the Mother of God, as he would call her, the Immaculata, based off of what she said at Lourdes, "I am the Immaculate Conception," which is her name. She's the spouse of the Holy Spirit. So it's just a real witness. And it's also the play itself. It's also one of great respect for life. It's a very pro-life story, if you look at it that way also. Because there's many agendas that Hitler did, and particularly if you think of birth control. Birth control is a racist term, which means the controlling of the births of people. And that's what Margaret Sanger is dealing with eugenics, but Hitler took that name and used it, and now it's commonplace. We look at it as just a normal name. I get my birth control pills. But it was a racist, fascist term that they used to control people's. So it's an amazing story what he does, and as John Paul II, you know, Saint Pope John Paul II said, he's one of the more important saints for our modern times. So that's just a little nutshell there.
No, absolutely, and you know the story of Allie ends up in that starvation bunker when you know the married man was selected, and Maximilian volunteers to take his place and is placed in the starvation bunker and didn't die fast enough for the Nazis, so they had to inject him with the carbolic acid to make room for the next wave of folks to go into the bunker. And you know, we're, you know, as Catholics, as Christians, and we talk about laying down our lives for others, and we don't always have to do that with a red martyrdom, but Maximilian did. And what a great example for all of us of that heroic virtue that he had, and the grace that I'm sure he received to do that through the from God through the Blessed Mother and that devotion that he had. And I just know from my own personal experience that when I made that consecration to the Knights back in 1997. That it changed my life forever, and not because I was perfect at the devotion and prayed the consecration prayer every day that we're asked to pray and what have you, because there would be periods of time where my prayer life would change and I'd forget about it, and then something would remind me, and then next thing you know, I'm doing it again. But even in those times where I would slack off, I knew the Blessed Mother was carrying me. And I would not be the person that I am today if not for our Blessed Mother. And the fact that St. Maximilian Kolbe brought her to so many people directly in his own lifetime and probably millions of people as a result of his legacy is just something for me that at times is unfathomable. But as we know, with God, anything is possible. And the way he used Maximilian is just incredible.
Yeah, and I think that's a beautiful reflection because the show just allows us to see his intimate relationship with the Mother of God and with Mary, the Immaculate One, And I think that's something that is really overwhelming for a lot of people, because a lot of us, we don't really reflect very often on the Mother of God and the beauty and her tenderness and her love and her power that she can bring us to Jesus. That if you think about it, when how much Jesus kept the commandments, you know, honor thy father and thy mother. And in the case of his mother, he always honored her. And if you were to go into Nazareth, he would introduce, I'm sure, you first to his mother and not to himself, so to speak. He had that respect for her. And, of course, she had the respect for him to bring him into the world and to receive it. And I think that's the most profound thing, that because of Mary, we have the Messiah, because she said yes. Beauty, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. So it's an incredible intimate relationship that I have found when I perform it. You feel her presence, a maternal presence, as you were witnessing the performance. But I think what happens to Ken and so many others, as you get, you know, you embrace and surrender to her, she will lovingly bring you closer and closer to Jesus and to the Trinity. And I think, you know, it makes me think of what Fulton Sheen says, that civilization is judged by how it respects the Mother of God. Because if you respect the Mother, then you respect the Son and you respect all life. Because if you don't respect the Mother, you just don't respect life itself. And I think that's what we're seeing today. And Maximilian, you think of the genocide of what happened in World War II and the genocide that continues today, as it did in the past and even during the Bible times, scriptural times, is that, you know, it again comes back to a great respect for the Queen of Heaven, which is the Mother of God. And if we don't have that, and we need that in every family, and I think that's what's missing so often in our love for the church, in our love for, love God and love thy neighbor. Because a lot has to do with the glue of the tabernacle, so to speak, which is Mary herself, where Jesus dwells within. So I think that's something that Maximilian pondered constantly and obviously communicated to millions of souls, as you mentioned.
Yeah. And for those that may have joined us late, our guest today is Leonardo DeFilippis, and he's the founder of St. Luke Productions. St. Luke Productions does a number of one-person shows, both male and female saints, and he's going to be in the area the third weekend of November. Again, just run through those dates. It'll be on Thursday, November the 17th at 7 o'clock at St. Patrick's in Malvern. On Friday, November the 18th, again at 7 o'clock at the National Shrine of Our Lady of Częstochowa in Doylestown. And then on Sunday, November the 20th, he'll be at St. Margaret of Antioch Church in Narberth. All show times are at 7 o'clock p.m. All is asked as a free will offering if you attend. As I mentioned before, I've seen it twice now and highly recommend it. I don't know which one of these three I'll get to. Probably the Shrine of Our Lady of Częstochowa, which of course is a place where a lot of Polish activity goes on. They've got a number of priests there that I think still speak broken English because of their Polish background. And I got a couple of friends that go up there all the time when they have their Polish celebrations. And so have you been there before, Leonardo?
Yes, I have. Okay. I've been there a couple times. Yeah, it's a beautiful place.
Yeah,
and it'll be right in line with the story too, with the life of Maximilian. So it's great.
Yeah, that's right. And he's also doing a couple of private shows, and I just want to he'll be at Roman Catholic for those folks in our listening audience that may have sons that currently attend Roman Catholic. Your boys may not have told you yet, but they'll be seeing this show on the 16th. Again, it's not open to the public. It'll be just for the school. And those boys are in for a real treat. I got a couple friends of mine who have sons there. And I have a feeling that when they find out about it, they're going to try to find a way to get themselves into that show if they can't make one of the others. But like you said, when you see that, and it was interesting to hear you say that you're just back from Connecticut, where you've done a number of shows for young people. And I know when I saw you do the show at Malvern, and I can't remember the show at St. John of the Cross afterwards. You usually interact with the crowd, don't you, that attends?
Yes, I usually will greet them. Yeah,
and,
absolutely.
Yeah, and so, you know, that opportunity to see how the show's impacted people, and sometimes I think you get that immediate impact, and I think the other thing is we don't always know the long-term impact of the show. Or anything that any of us do. I think that sometimes it's God's way of keeping us humble if we don't get to see all the good stuff that comes from it. But, you know, to be able to touch young people, and you've mentioned a couple of times, especially in the, you know, where this country in particular is today, and to be able to break through that and let people know that there is a different way to live and to behave and to, you know, grow closer to God, because there's a whole lot more to this life than what we see.
Absolutely. Very well said, and I think you're right. There's a lot of challenges today. A lot of people are worried about the morals of our society and what's happening, and Maximilian is a person who really tries to address that. I mean, he really cares about the family, cares about the children, and he cares about the formation of all those in the church, and also those who do not know Christ at all. His passion was such that he wanted to speak to every person in the world, and he was fearless that way. So that's why he also just reached out to the Japanese at the time, which was one of the most, in terms of persecution in the history of the church, one of the worst in persecutions in the history of the church was in Japan. And so, but he went there and got disciples, you know, in Japan. So it's an amazing story, really, an amazing heart of a man that we can emulate for our youth, for our children, and for ourselves. And hopefully, I pray, I want to consecrate this whole, we talk about consecration, you know, Ken, to Our Lady, but I want to consecrate this show to the Philadelphia Archdiocese and all the people, all your listeners. All the listeners, even if they can't come, we're going to consecrate this for your intentions, your concerns, your worries, and also all the people in the church, that the church can flourish. And for right now, the current situation in Philadelphia, politically and morally, that we can maybe set things aright, going in terms of the light of Christ and a love for the blessed.
I can't agree more, and the impact that your time here is going to have, especially with this consecration that you're making, I can see great things coming from it already. Before we move on to the next topic, how about if we go ahead and just take a short break now? When we come back, maybe talk a little bit about your own personal journey and how St. Luke Productions came about, if that's all right with you.
You betcha.
All right. My good friend Patrick, our engineer, we're going to start, we'll take our break just a minute early here. For those that are listening, again, our guest today is Leonardo DeFilippis, and we're talking about, in particular, his one-man show, St. Maximilian Kolbe. But when we come back from the break, we'll talk more about St. Luke Productions and all the work that they do. So don't go away. We'll be right back.
My name is Mario Diadamo, and I have been a faithful listener to In His Sign Radio Ministry since 1990, and to Kathleen McCarthy as principal host since 2007. Hearing the witness of Kathleen and her guests has contributed greatly to my spiritual growth. They have educated me about the tenets of my Catholic faith by presenting lay and religious leaders discuss topics that help listeners create an informed Catholic conscience. I always encourage people who are in need of prayer and companionship to listen, call in, and become part of our radio listener family by joining thousands of other people praying for your intentions. I personally can attest to the power of the prayers from the ministry. Kathleen often reminds her listeners that you are never alone because the Lord is always with us. Through this Catholic radio and internet apostolate, the Lord is indeed with us in a very tangible way. Please share the good news as Kathleen takes a leap of faith and expanding to a two-hour program to reach many more people who need to experience the love of God. Thank you.
You're listening to In His Sign Catholic Radio, empowered by the Holy Spirit, bringing the fire of God's love to the world. We are blessed to have had this Catholic radio apostolate for almost 40 years now. Thanks be to God for your partnership. Without you, this radio voice would be silenced. We have a monthly Mass offered for you, our loyal family of listeners. It's our way of saying thank you for underpinning our apostolate with your many prayers and financial support. This is your radio ministry, to be a voice for those who have no voice, to evangelize and to catechize for a time such as this. We know the Lord will bless you abundantly. He can never be outdone in generosity. If this ministry has touched your heart, help us to touch other hearts by supporting us with your prayers and financial support. Call us at 610-527-2906 or visit our website at inhissign.com.
And welcome back to What the World Needs Now. This is your host, Ken Johnston. And again, I want to praise and thank God for all of our listeners and thank you for all that you do for us here at In His Sign Catholic Radio, both your prayerful and financial support that's kept us on the air for over 40 years and allows us to bring you great programming like the shows we had today. And again, I want to thank our guest, Leonardo DeFilippis. It's been an honor to have you with us for the first 30 minutes, and we've got about 25 minutes left if you can spend it with us, Leonardo. And the great work that you've done over all these years with St. Luke Productions. And just for our audience, they have a great website at stlukeproductions.com. It's stlukeproductions.com. And out there has a calendar with all the shows that go on around the country. Also, one of the things that's there is your opportunity to book Leonardo or the other actors that are involved with St. Luke Productions. It looks like there's a handful of shows that are currently available to tour, including the latest one, Tolton, about the first American black priest, Tolton from Slave to Priest. Leonardo himself does the Confessions of St. Augustine, the Maximilian show that we've been talking about, and also a show on Vianney, the St. John Vianney, the priest who fought the devil. And the fifth one would be Faustina, Messenger of Divine Mercy. So it looks like that one in particular, they're looking to book for the fall of 2023. So if any of these interest you and you think you have an opportunity to bring them, and it probably helps, Leonardo, right, not to just have one parish. If we can get a couple of different places or a couple of different venues so that it probably makes it more economical for everybody involved to bring these shows to town.
Yeah, we're doing those, and then also we're doing two films. One is we're actually filming the Tolton show, and so say a prayer that we can complete that with the help of others. And also our bigger thing is The Heart of Mercy, which is based off of the St. Faustina play, but it now is turning into a movie. and which stars Maria Vargo and Jonathan Rumi, the one who is the place, the part of Jesus, chosen.
Oh, that's so awesome.
Say a prayer that we can complete that, because that's a, you know, you, people can look at that too, heartofmercymovie.com. And anyway, we're still working on it, but it's a huge, enormous project that I've been trying to work on for years now, in the midst of all the other stuff we're doing. So, no, it's been great to be able to do the plays, particularly because that's been our main mission, is to try to bring things personally, which you, of course, have experienced. So, you know, because you can't reach everyone by doing it live, but you can get there, you know, through the media in terms of electronic formats, like we do with film and television and radio.
Right, and you've done that at least once before with the movie Therese, right?
Right, we opened Therese, and that was the first Catholic movie on a saint done by a Catholic organization, completely done by donations. So it was, you know, completely a non-profit film, and was in the movie theaters for about 71 weeks, I think, at the time. So, and it was in Philadelphia, too, at that time. So.
That's right, and saw it when it was here.
2005, yeah.
Yeah, and is that still, is that available anywhere through any of the streaming?
Yes, you can see it. Anybody has formed. I encourage people to see all our stuff is on formed, all our works. We have like 24 works on formed right now, which is, it's like our Catholic Netflix, so to speak. It's usually in parishes,
right.
But you can get the code and you can go and watch all of these things pretty much for free. So you can see Therese, and we're happy to announce that Therese is going to Poland. It's going to be in Polish language and pretty soon, in a couple more weeks. So so it'll start expanding some of the digital outreach in terms of streaming. So we hope to get it into more platforms, even into the secular ones, you know, Amazon and all those others. We're just having to get it all together because it takes time to do all that stuff.
Sure, sure. And it's probably not a one-man operation, but it's not a St. Luke Productions isn't, you know, hundreds of employees, right?
No, we're small. We're about 10 people.
Yeah.
Who's the performers. And we're nonprofit, like any, just like you are. And we rely totally on donations to, you know, create the shows artistically and to bring it to all the people and to go on the tours. We have to still get donations to pay the extra cost that it will cost.
Sure.
And we try to do things, you know, for schools and everything and for parishes. We do a lot of inner city places too that can't pay too much. So, you know, we have to work always.
Yeah,
my main goal is to get it to the people. It's the most important thing, to get the message of the saints. And so we hope to do more in social media too, but, you know, all of that, you can't do everything.
That's right.
Theater is, it's a tremendous amount of work to do all these things. And it takes a lot of energy. But as we alluded to, sometimes doing it, something that's artistic rather than, say, I don't know, having a sermon or a talk or a book on it, it allows you to have some personal interaction that's so different, because you feel for a moment that you're actually meeting the saint live in your imagination and in your heart. And so I think that, and it's not a movie, but by seeing something live, you start to, you know, you engage in it. So I think it's more of an experience, and I think that's why the arts, theater, you know, film, of course, it can be so powerful, particularly if we can use it to promote our faith, you know, to promote, which we have done all our, and now when our, believe it or not, we're going into our 43rd year of doing this kind of work, but we have always found that the most exciting, you know, stories are the Gospels and the lives of the saints. I wish I had an army of helpers, because I would love to do saints of every culture, you know, in the world.
Yeah.
And because they're all part of our family in terms of the Catholic Universal Church. And all of the saints are for everyone, Gentile or Jew, if you want to say it that way.
Absolutely. But in your own life, in your own career, you didn't start out in the realm of Catholic acting, if you will, or Catholic productions, did you?
No. I mainly went into acting in the Shakespeare. I was mainly on the West Coast at the Old Globe Theater and the Oregon Shakespeare Festival and Colorado Shakespeare Festival. And I did things like that, San Francisco. And so I was performing in the secular world. I wasn't really practicing the faith then. I didn't know anyone in the theater who was a practicing Catholic. Now, a lot of the actors are they're Catholics, but doesn't mean they practice their faith, often. And so I just, it took me a while. Eventually, I had a reconversion back to the faith and in the midst of the theater. And so because of that, I was at a monastery called Mount Angel Monastery on the West Coast in Oregon. It's a Benedictine monastery, and a monk befriended me, and I went there, and he basically, to make a long story short, encouraged me to do something for a family conference, and that's how St. Luke Productions started, in terms of I created a show on the Gospel of Luke, because at that time, the Gospel of Mark had been performed by a famous English actor, and others started to imitate him, but no one in the country had ever done Gospel of Luke, so I took on that journey and started that, and then one thing led to another. The minute I did that, somebody asked me, well, the Franciscans came to me and said, could you do a show on St. Francis for the 800th anniversary? And as we mentioned before earlier, Maximilian for his 100th anniversary, or St. Therese for her 100th anniversary of her death, or John of the Cross for 400 years, or St. Augustine for 1,600 years of his conversion. So I keep doing these things. But you know what's remarkable, Ken, is these shows, even if, you know, how something may be, you know, you do a show and it becomes passé after time, it becomes old-fashioned. But even if I did a show 40 years ago or 30 years ago or 10 years ago, it's still relevant today because the saint stories are so relevant right now and they speak to us right away. So, I've had such an incredible experience after my conversion to play the life of Christ. Probably one of my most profound shows was the Gospel of John. I did the entire Gospel of John, and I may have been the first person to do that in the country at the time, but it's a very difficult show, and I did it, but it was so profound, and it affected a lot of people's lives, and it affected me. I think to play the life of God, to play Christ himself, you know, is a great honor and privilege. In the way that we did it, you know, live for the people, face to face, eye to eye. So, and then that translated to the saints. So I could do the same thing, you know, in the shows that you've seen in the past and the other shows that we have done. And we've created other shows, you know, like, say, Father Tolton, which is a very profound play, and also St. Therese or St. Faustina. You know, obviously I don't play those roles, but... thanks be to God. But others, my goal is to let others, you know, I want others to take this on to another generation, our ministry, if it is God's will, so that it can impact other people in the arts. Because particularly the arts, Catholic arts, are not done. And we used to be called the mother of the church. The mother of the arts. And we're not really that, as we were at one time. And I think that's something that people can get behind, something like this. Then what's important is that the radio, Catholic radio, is so incredible because it's a vehicle to tell what's happening. Like in this case, you are going to help souls come to meet St. Maximilian Kolbe. And that's so beautiful. Just as Maximilian Kolbe, himself, when he wrote about certain events and things that were happening in Poland that people needed to come and see, you're doing the same thing as he did. So that's a great service to the people of God.
Yeah, and if you, I say this often, if you had told me 30 years ago that this is what I would be doing on Wednesday afternoons, just like if somebody had told you that, 45 years ago that you would dedicate your life to the lives of the saints, yeah, we probably would have had a mutual laugh at those folks, and yet God has found a way to put us in positions to you know, spread his word. And, you know, what a,
yeah,
a what a gift that is. And I think my job may be a little bit easier than yours. I prepare each week for 2 hours of radio. But I was just curious. You mentioned that it was the Francis or the Knights of Immaculata that originally came to you and asked you to put together a show on Maximilian Kolbe. When these shows are first conceived, how long does it actually take you to, you know, script it? Because you do, and it's as a one man show. It's everything. It's, you know, one actor, all the lines, all the scenes. The music and background, which is phenomenal. So a show like Maximilian, how long would it take you from conception to actually putting on the first show?
Well, it started in September 8th, I remember, at that time frame, and I opened it in August 13th, and right before his feast day in Denver at the time. So it took that long. So, but remember, I'm working and performing other shows the whole time.
Sure.
So I have to do this on the side, and it's a very immersive. So you really are researching, you know, the history of World War One, World War Two, the history of Poland, history of Maximilian, to read almost everything you can find on him, and talk to, you know, the Franciscan conventuals and a number of people like Father McCurry, all of those who helped me put the show together, and then we have to decide what scenes, because you have an immense epic life, and I could only do, you know, 87 minutes of it. So it's a challenge to edit to that. My wife and I put the shows together and try to be as truthful as possible, but we also have to have the forces of evil in there too, because that's very much part of the story. It's not just this, you know, very sanguine type of experience of this fervent saint. You know, he has to go through a battle that he's engaged in to save souls, as all saints do, and Christ himself. He has to go to Calvary, he's going to die, and he's going to be persecuted, etc. And so, and that happens to all the saints. So it took time to do it, but it's a powerful thing, because you really immerse yourself in the material. And you know what happened when I opened the show, and for those number of years in the early days, there was many survivors from the World War II, and I actually performed for two people that were in the lineup in Auschwitz when he was taken to the starvation bunker. And I also performed for Brother Jerome, who was his secretary when the Gestapo came. That was in Philadelphia when I did that with Cardinal Kroll when he was still alive.
Yeah.
And that, you know, people who were in seminary with him in Rome, people who knew him, and then I went on to perform for concentration camp survivors and POWs from all the wars, modern wars, from World War II to Korea to Vietnam, you know, and so that was very, what's so profound is that this is a real story. This is not, you know, like you think of St. Augustine, he's so long ago, he's so old. But this is a story that's very current now, today, as we're seeing with Ukraine, the battle with there in Russia, and all the different communist movements and socialist movements that are happening today throughout the world and in our own country also.
Now, and you know, you've mentioned a couple of times how relevant it is to what's going on today in this world, and you know, you hear it often, you know, that history just repeats itself. It changes a little bit, the actors change, the scenes may change, the place may change, but it's always what amounts to a spiritual battle, right, between good and evil, between Christ and Satan. And sometimes
right.
We can feel like we might just be pawns in this game, but we're not pawns. We're real folks, we're real Christians, and we're right in the thick of it. And at least those of us that recognize it. I think there's far more people that don't recognize it for what it is, and that, you know, your shows and some of the other Catholic media that's out there, especially in this day and age, is bringing that to the forefront, thank goodness.
Thank God, yeah. And Maximilian said, you know, he says, oftentimes we we feel that they, you know, they have the money, they have the organization, and they have the mass media all behind them, the enemy, so to speak, the evil one, and the one who's giving misinformation, if you want to say it that way, in the modern terms. And then he says, Maximilian's response is what St. Paul says, we can do all things in him who strengthens us, you know, from God himself. So we have to remember that the all the good we do only comes from God. We don't do anything. Maximilian, as he says, he is supposed to be just a useless, he's a useless servant. Servants you'd think would be useful, but the thing is that God makes you useful. He is your, he's your power. Everything is dedicated to him as and to his Blessed Mother, so that we can spread their devotion to them and worship of God himself. And so I think that people forget the power of God and the power of the Blessed Mother to touch the heart of Christ, you know, as, you know, as she will say, do whatever he tells you, you know. So I think that we have to have that faith. That's the one thing the Nazis, you know, they could take away the country, they could destroy all the property, they could do, they could take your life, but the one thing they couldn't take was your faith. You could hold on to your faith in God, then, and always have the hope that we're eternal. As he would say, it's amazing, he would say, Ken, to his brothers, he would say, we are invincible. Now, who says that? Nobody's invincible, right? Mm. But we're invincible with God. Nothing can stop us. That kind of confidence and courage is something that we need today. And right there, all you listeners who are in the Philadelphia area, you might think, oh my gosh, what's happening in Philadelphia? What's going on? But if you have the confidence and courage and love of God and trust in him and in his Blessed Mother, all things are possible. Nothing's impossible with God.
You're absolutely right.
What worries you have.
Yeah. Now, it's like an honor God moment for me right now, because I had exactly what you were talking about. I experienced that at about 9:07 this morning, where after you know, staying up too late last night watching election returns, waking up this morning not too happy, and it was in an instant just about that. Why am I getting myself all worked up about this stuff? I'm not even a citizen of this world. My citizenship belongs elsewhere, and nobody can take that from me. And I went from being out of sorts and angry to having a smile on my face, holding the door for somebody when I went to the dry cleaners this morning. Got to the ministry where I work during the day, where we, you know, try to help those that are addicted, and you know, a couple of people that I'm around all the time, and they weren't too happy. And, you know, just sharing that with them, I think, brought them up a little bit. And you're absolutely right. Regardless of what goes on in this world, they can't take that from us. We can let them if we really want to, but we have to let them. They can't take it by force. So,
right. I think we have to have that peace of heart, peace of mind, that Christ is still with us always. You think of Maximilian, you know, yes, the election was kind of sad, the results and all these things, for very moral reasons and religious reasons and civil reasons, but you think of Maximilian dying in Auschwitz, it looks like the world's going to be destroyed. It's the early part of World War II. Hitler is rising, he's not falling, and Mussolini and the Japanese, and the world is in complete chaos. And yet he has complete confidence that God is going to take care of everything, and the Blessed Mother. And yes, and we're the beneficiaries of that. And I think that's the same with Christ. It didn't look too good when Christ died. Not at all. I mean, was his apostles looking all that great? No.
No.
But that little band of brothers and with the Blessed Mother, that expanded to where we are the beneficiaries of all their sacrifices and their prayers right now. So we should have that. You're right, we have to have that joy, that peace, which Maximilian always mentioned to his brothers. He has this peace because he has the certitude that he's going to go to heaven. because God, as Mary, has allowed him to know that, which is a great gift. Not all of us feel that way, because we feel that we're always lesser than more. But I think that how much God truly loves us, and how much Mary truly loves each and every one of your listeners right now, and how much he loves you, Ken.
Amen.
How much he loves you, which is unfathomable and almost inexpressible, how the love is so powerful towards you. Because she's not just the mother of Catholics. She's the mother of every single human being. She's the new Eve. She's the mother of God. And when you mention out there, all you people, when you go out there and talk about Mary, always name her as the mother of God. She is the mother of Jesus Christ, who created us, who died for us, and who rose from the dead, and is going to lead us all into heaven if we just receive him.
Very good. Well, Leonardo, the hour has flown by much like I expected it to, and I can't thank you enough for being with us. I know you're a busy man, and I think what we've shared with our listeners has been enlightening. The show will get uploaded on our website so people can listen to it if you didn't catch the beginning. But again, our guest has been Leonardo DeFilippis, and he's the founder of St. Luke Productions, and he's going to be in the area personally next weekend. Beginning on Thursday, November the 17th, where he'll be at St. Patrick's Parish, again, performing the Maximilian Show. November 17th at 7 o'clock, St. Patrick's Parish. On Friday night, November the 18th, he'll be at the National Shrine of Our Lady of Częstochowa in Doylestown, again, 7 o'clock. And on Sunday evening, November the 20th, again, 7 o'clock, he'll be at St. Margaret of Antioch Church in Narberth, Pennsylvania. So Leonardo, I wish you all the best. I hope to catch up with you personally at one of those shows, and can't thank you enough for spending the whole hour with us and sharing not just the Maximilian story, but your own story as well, because it's when we do that, when we witness to one another what God has done in our own lives, that we give other folks the hope that maybe God will do it in theirs too. So thank you very
much. Well, God bless you, and God bless all your listeners. And we'll be praying for you. As I mentioned, we'll consecrate all of this for all you people. God bless you.
All right, Leonardo. Thanks so much, and hope to catch up with you next week. God
you
bless
you.
Him. All right.
God love you.
You too. As I said, when we first got started here, I had gotten an email from one of Leonardo's representatives, Jacqueline, a couple of weeks ago, and I was not aware that he was coming for the Knights of Immaculata retreat on the weekend of the 19th to the 21st. Unfortunately, I know that retreat is full. They actually have a standby list, so it's probably too late to attend. But there'll be other opportunities the Thursday, Friday night before and the Sunday night after that retreat to see his show. But as I started to mention, Jacqueline got in touch with us a couple of weeks ago, asking if we had time to squeeze Leonardo in. And today was the only Wednesday that we had open between now and the end of the year. And the timing was perfect. And like I said, I've seen the Maximilian show twice. And it's you can't explain it. And how moved you are by witnessing how he portrays the life of Maximilian. You can't help but be forever changed because of it. So once again on this Wednesday, I want to thank all of our listeners for whatever part of the 2 hours you were able to join with us today. I do my best to get all the shows uploaded each week, not just my own, but those of Kathleen and Ann and Joe and all the hosts here at In His Sign Catholic Radio. And we'll try to get this show up by the end of the day tomorrow. And, of course, I look forward to being with you again next Wednesday. And my prayer is that until then is that God will hold you in the palm of his hand. Take care, and God bless.